Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio on a fine Thursday. Coming up in 20 minutes, we are stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, yesterday was the MLS season kickoff luncheon slash press conference. The bigwigs of MLS got together. I was there, not because I was a bigwig, because I was part of the media. And there were some interesting quotes about the future of the league and some real confidence that the league is positioned to overtake baseball and hockey as the number three sport in America in a certain time frame. I'll give you that time frame that they believe as they enter their 25th season as a league of American soccer, coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. 1 hour from now, 11-year Major League Baseball veteran Billy Ripken will join us, and I'll kind of throw that question out to him if he thinks that baseball is well-suited, well-positioned to retain its status as a main league of American interest in that power ranking, that food chain here in the U.S. NFL scouting combine, NFL draft coming up. Now, I say NFL draft coming up, it's pretty hysterical. We are already talking very intensely about the NFL draft, and it is more than 6 weeks away. We are talking about late April, and it's not even March the 1 yet. So all of this is obviously very premature. But there are some things that start to take focus around the combine. There are guys that raise their stock. There are guys that lose stock as well. And one of the things that is very obvious is that all of these teams that are drafting in the top four or five want to keep making it very well known, hey, us over here, we're open for business too. Ron Rivera, the new head coach in Washington, has good things to say about Dwayne Haskins, but also admits that Washington is open to perhaps drafting a quarterback and thus trading away last year's first-round quarterback.
Before we do anything with the number two pick, we got to see what happens with the number one pick. And so once that pick goes on, then we'll go from there. But again, as I said, everything's an option. I mean, we're, you know, as far as in talking with Kyle, we've talked a couple of times already what, you know, situations potentially be. But the truth is we got to see what happens in front of us.
I believe there is 0% chance Washington drafts a quarterback at number two. A 0.00000% chance that they draft a quarterback at number two. Could Washington trade out of number two? Yes.
Could they trade down? Yes. Could they even trade out and select a quarterback? Doubtful, but maybe. Could Ron Rivera not be sold on Dwayne Haskins? Yes. But do I think Washington is taking Tua at number two? I absolutely guarantee you they do not do that. What Ron Rivera is doing is stirring up interest for his pick. And I don't think that's a bad idea. But what I think is it's so transparent. All of this is so transparent. You've got a league now, and it's been this way for a long time, but more than ever, you can't win diddly squat unless you have a quarterback. You used to be able to ride a great defense to wins. You used to be able to ride a great running back to wins. But these days, guaranteeing anything with a putz quarterback, no matter how great your running back is or how great your defense is a bad idea. Yeah, you might fall into the 2013 Legion of Boom, but they still had a young Russell Wilson. You ain't ever getting the 2000 Ravens ever again. It's not happening. You're never getting the 02 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll never see under these rules and an NFL that knows keep its quarterbacks healthy, open up the offense, people like scoring. We'll never see Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer win Super Bowls. The closest we'll come is a half-retired Peyton Manning who rides a great defense, but remember, he's still freaking Peyton Manning, okay? I don't think Brock Osweiler is winning that Super Bowl that year. I really don't. Osweiler is fine for a moment. Remember, the Broncos had to beat the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game and then beat Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. I don't think Brock Osweiler's doing that. And again, even if you do somehow have a half-in-the-bag Peyton Manning, you've got to have this unbelievably great defense that carries the day. You got to have a QB. It's only getting more and more glaring by the day. And so what ends up happening every draft now is, are you a have or a have not for a quarterback? That's it. There's two camps. Either you need to draft a quarterback or you don't. And it's never been more stark. I mean, when we look at the draft, yesterday, Merez, we had Daniel Jeremiah join us on the show. Daniel Jeremiah works for the NFL Network draft analyst. And as we were talking about where Justin Herbert or Jordan Love might go, Herbert, Oregon, Jordan Love, Utah State, he was specifically talking about the waves in the drafts where teams need a quarterback or just simply don't have a great solution right now at quarterback. It might not even be teams that are going, God, we absolutely need a young quarterback to build around. It's just teams that might need to upgrade, and so they don't have right now a perfect solution.
They don't have an entrenched franchise quarterback.
You are defining the draft now by the teams that have to draft a quarterback. And then there's everybody else. And for Washington, they don't have to draft a quarterback, which means they won't draft a quarterback at number two. They'll either draft Chase Young, who could be a generational pass rusher, or they'll trade out of that pick for somebody to draft their quarterback.
Right, which is exactly why any team right now who holds a spot like that, who doesn't need a quarterback, but sits at two or three or four, like we're seeing with Washington, the Lions, and the Giants, you want to talk about what you may need and that you're evaluating all positions because you want to create the illusion or the smokescreen that you may just be gutsy enough to do it. And I'll tell you, last year what Arizona did when they dumped Josh Rosen and traded Kyler Murray, to me, gave teams like Washington, like the Lions, like the Giants, this leverage of anything is possible now, even if you spent the first-round pick the year before on a quarterback, because you want that allure, that attention. If a team really wants Tua or Herbert or Love, that they better trade up, because you know what? Anybody's live to take a quarterback, because Arizona did it last year.
Excellent point. If you can draft quarterbacks 2 years in a row, both in the top 10, all bets are off now in the NFL in what you assume or expect. Now, like I said, I don't think there's any way Washington punts on Dwayne Haskins already at the number two pick because they can get more in return and they like Haskins enough to trade out of that spot. It doesn't make any sense for them to trade to draft Tua at number two instead of take all of the stuff that they have that they can get for somebody that wants to trade for Tua and then just stick with Haskins. So there's no way they're drafting Tua at number two. But the Giants are going to create the smokescreen. The Lions, Washington, as you said, try to create enough possible question marks about what you could do at that spot to squeeze a little bit more out of the team that desperately needs the quarterback because these days you just can't wait around. I mean, the Chicago Bears are a really good example. They, for some reason, fell in love with Mitchell Trubisky and traded up to number two to get him when there were still Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Now, think about how aggressive you have to be as the Bears. I believe they were at number three that year and traded up to number two, even though there was three potential franchise quarterbacks that would be available and you were sitting already at number three. So one of them was going to be with you. Now, what we learned was you could have had the choice of probably all three at number three. But certainly you would have a choice of one of them because there's no way they all could have been drafted before you picked. And yet the Bears were so, and had they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson at number two, it would have made a ton of sense. They just happened to pick the wrong guy. But there is such a desperation now that you will do anything. You'll trade whatever it takes. You got to get the guy. So do I think Washington's going to draft a quarterback at two? Absolutely not. Do I think the Giants have any inclination to draft a quarterback at number four? Absolutely not. Do I think that the Lions could draft a quarterback? I suppose maybe, but I think it's smarter for them to stick with Stafford. And if they want to take picks from somebody else, fine. But all three of them are as what's the, this is right now the going, this is what everybody's saying. This is the going slogan. We're looking at everything. We could draft a quarterback there just to squeeze more collateral out of the team that really needs to trade up to go get Herbert or Tua.
All right, and frankly, it's smart. You hold the cards there. If you have done your job and feel like you've nailed your franchise quarterback and you ended up stinking last year anyway, you clearly stink for a reason and you need assets, not just that one player at 2, 3, or 4. So you might as well hold the King's ransom up for any of those teams that need to come up. I think that's just smart football, but it also, I think, stinks for us as media and stinks for us as fans because what are we going to do for the next 6 weeks? We are going to overbeat to a drum every single smokescreen we read into it, try to decipher it, and then all bets are off come the night of the draft, and we all get shocked anyway.
It's pretty amazing that there's already this much. I mean, it's not amazing because we live in this world where this happens now every year, but there's this much attention on the NFL draft 6, 7, 8 weeks in advance because really it's the free agency of the quarterbacks right now, the free agency of the NFL that is the first benchmark. That comes up in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's less than 3 weeks away when we'll see. I would imagine that Brady and the other guys, Phillip Rivers, et cetera, are going to make pretty quick decisions, I would think.
Well, see, and that's what's interesting about the free agency this year because the NFL now has become that sport where it used to be Major League Baseball, where the offseason starts, and by the stroke of midnight, guys are flying off the board. Now they have that legal tampering period, all of that. But this is going to be probably, in my estimation, the most unique and unusual free agency we have ever seen in the NFL in that you never get big-name quarterbacks on the market, and we will have that with Rivers, with Brady, with guys like that, and you will see quarterback movement. Usually when we see quarterback movement in free agency, it's Brock Osweiler, it's Mike Glennon. You're going to get these guys going. So they kind of hold the cards where does a Tom Brady or a Phillip Rivers need to, the moment free agency begins, have their deal in place and sign? Or is this going to become kind of what baseball's become, where it gets strung out a little bit and all these teams are waiting for those dominoes to fall to see what cap space they have because they're such powerful names? They could change the way free agency feels in that they're not agreeing right away because of who they are.
I would agree with that. I think, though, that a guy like Tom Brady wants to know where he's going to go as early as possible because my guess is he's a guy that wants to understand his playbook, understand his offense, understand his wide receivers. I know that he's kind of bailed on Patriots workouts in recent years. My guess is if and when he leaves, same for Phillip Rivers, there's going to be an offseason commitment to get as much work done as possible beforehand. so that they're not trying to figure it out once they hit training camp.
I guess that's true. But I mean, is that the difference between signing right away and signing 5 days later?
Yes, it could definitely be 4 or 5 days later. Yes. Now, I also think it's really interesting that more and more people are saying it's unlikely Brady will return. You know, some people are just absolutely stuck in the mud on this, digging their heels in. He would never leave. Why would he leave? Lifelong Patriot. Don't leave. He wants to win. Where else could you win? And I've said this all along. He didn't drop the breadcrumbs that he dropped for no reason. Okay? He didn't sell his house. His TB12 fellow trainer didn't sell his house. He didn't rework his contract so that he couldn't be franchised for no reason. Brady set things up for this moment. Now, is it possible that Tom Brady, we use this metaphor a lot, walks to the edge, looks over, and says, I'm not ready to do this? Absolutely. It is possible. He goes out there and just says, this doesn't feel right. I'm going back. But he didn't do all of this to come back to New England. He didn't do all of this to lay out the breadcrumbs and this will I, won't I leave, will I, won't I retire. He didn't do all of this out of coincidence. There is a reason for it. And now you hear more and more people, insiders, say it's really unlikely that he returns. And I believe that. And I really believe that Brady has already, in his heart, started to move on from New England. Now, I only think that there's two real significant possibilities. I think the Raiders and the Chargers. I have a really tough time believing this Titan story. I have a really tough time believing that just because of Mike Vrabel, that he's going to end up in Nashville. But I can absolutely see Brady, much like LeBron, looking at going to a West Coast city or a place where there's a lot of sizzle and pizzazz and celebrity, trying to already build his post-playing career. I mean, LeBron goes to L.A., of course, because of the Lakers brand, but also for the Hollywood connections. He already is envisioning what he's going to do post-playing career, and being in L.A. helps those things. Brady being in L.A. or Las Vegas does both of those things, elevating his post-playing opportunities on the West Coast in a place where celebrity is everything. Los Angeles, Las Vegas, the show, the showcase, the importance, the glitz, the glamour, the tickets, all of that, that lifestyle. I really don't see him deciding that just because Vrabel is in Tennessee and they went to the AFC Championship game that suddenly that's his spot. But I absolutely believe that Brady's already moving on from New England, and you'll hear that more and more, in my estimation, over the next 3 weeks before free agency. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
An hour toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Remember, you can always follow us on social media and watch clips on YouTube. You can watch us at watchda.com live every single day, including inside the radio.com app. But you can also watch the best of clips on YouTube. Binge watch the DA Show. Just go to YouTube and search CBS Sports Radio.
Electronically ignorant.
Michael tweets, DA, Dwayne Haskins is just not that good. He's going to be a bust. I think Washington will trade out a number two, but they also know they made a mistake. I'm not convinced they think that yet. I'm not huge on Dwayne Haskins. I think Haskins came into the league as a raw commodity, as a guy that needed a lot of polish, as a guy that you knew was going to make some mistakes and need some work. But sounds like that once he was named the starter, they started seeing the commitment that they wanted. Ron Rivera said that he's seen him in the facility every single day. And I think that there's things that they really like about Dwayne Haskins. So I'm not convinced they think that he's a bust. I'm not high on him, but I don't think they're completely sold on him not being the guy. So that's why them talking about potentially drafting a quarterback at number two like Tua or like Herbert is just ridiculous. You know that they're lying. You know that the Giants are lying, that they would draft a quarterback there as well. You know that they're just driving up the price or trying to make teams believe, oh, wait a second, maybe they would draft the guy that we want, even though we know that that's not the case. Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. This is getting ridiculous and or amazing. Giancarlo Stanton has a grade one right calf strain, could miss opening day. That's on the heels of playing just 18 games last season, and it comes the day after Luis Severino was diagnosed with a need for Tommy John surgery, which follows back surgery for James Paxton. Again, DA, the Yankees don't deserve this.
No.
They just don't.
Horrible luck.
It's been so long since they've won a championship.
Right.
Their long-suffering fans are now going on 11 years without a World Series title and only 26 total in their organization's history.
Again, over a decade is a long time. I don't care that other fans haven't won. And if you look at the last 4 years when this team has built something, bad break after bad break, it's getting ridiculous now. They're becoming a cursed organization. Yeah. It's not fair.
It is fair to ask, when was the last time something went in their favor?
In right field, Tarasco going back to the track, to the wall. And what happens here? He contends that a fan reaches up and touches it. But Richie Garcia says no, it's a home run.
Bogish, if you're 24 years old or younger, you don't even know what that is.
That's
not
fine.
Even a relevant reference.
Me
anymore.
And P just laughed, so I'm good.
I did.
Yep, that's all I needed.
So here's the thing. Mraz, you consider yourself now a long-suffering Yankee fan.
Mm. Yes.
How do you think Padres fans feel?
I'm sure they feel as horrible as I do.
As horrible or maybe worse?
Maybe worse.
They've never won one.
Right, but I mean, they could check out and go to the beach. They're in February. I think they're fine.
How do you feel, I don't know, Cleveland Indians fans might feel?
It's got to stink, but at least they tasted a trip to the World Series a couple years ago.
1948, their last championship. 1948.
Okay, great.
How do you think Pirates fans feel?
But why do I care about those fans?
Well,
why?
Only
so I'm not allowed to be long-suffering because they're longer-suffering?
Well, because
that makes no sense.
Because 10 years without a World Series championship
11.
Is not long suffering.
Right.
Especially when they've been in the ALCS at least almost
on
repeat. So again.
But now when you build a team where you should be back in the mix and you're thinking to be back in the mix and you realize that you've been ousted 2 years in a row by teams that blatantly cheated, and last year you're injury riddled, this year now every single day of spring training, another one of their stars gets hurt. You're not reading about this with the Pirates or anybody else. It just shows you that there's some kind of bad karma or something going on with the Yankees, and it's going to cause a bad influx here. This should be a year where they coast to the World Series, and now it's not that. That is creating more long-suffering.
Coast. So you just expect the Yankees to coast to a World Series.
This year, with the roster, when it was supposed to be healthy, they absolutely should have coasted, not even look back, won 115 games, see you later.
So you don't even want any type of stress, any type of drama.
I think a little stress is good, but I think for the most part, yeah, this was a team built with the rest of the American League to sweep, see the Dodgers in the World Series.
And again, left. Let's just remind everybody.
Now, not anymore.
And how many wins would you have predicted in the regular season?
115.
115
wins. This was going to be one of the great teams of all time this year.
And then sweep the ALDS, sweep the ALCS, see the Dodgers in the World Series.
Yes, but now you can't expect that. Starting pitchers hurt all over, Stanton hurt again. This is a team to be lucky to win 95 games.
Huh.
The team that's left over includes Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres.
Yeah.
James Paxton will be back maybe as early as May 1st.
Gerrit Cole,
Tanaka, Chapman, Miguel Andujar, who I was told... I mean, and the projection is there.
These are all stars.
But when we were comparing Yankees Dodgers, I think one day, and Duhar was winning every battle, no matter where he put him, even though he only had one healthy arm last
That's
year.
That's exactly right.
But now, because they've lost a guy who Sean hates in Stanton for maybe just opening day or so.
Yeah. And they lost the ace number two.
And Severino's that's the real one long-term thing so far. Now maybe they can win 95 games and have to go 5 or 6 to win the ALCS. But
this is spiraling.
So let's all say prayers for you.
This isn't going to be the end of it. Today, something else is going to happen. By the way, Judge still hasn't stepped in a box this year either. So let's not assume we have him.
I mean, Aaron Judge.
Sanchez's knees could explode sitting back there catching these pitches or on aces. This is a bad scene.
It's been so long since you've been able to cheer.
But you guys crush me for being a Yankee homer. Now I'm being realistic that this is getting scary, and you're crushing me for that, too.
Tell me
because
about it.
I mean, you can't have your cake and then not eat it, too.
That's not how you say that.
Not how it goes. Yeah. The problem is that you're so up and down. It's like when the Yankees signed Gerrit Cole, we're going to win 115 games, sweep everybody, World Series guaranteed. The moment that you have a couple of injuries, we're cursed, I'm long-suffering, this is a disaster, it's spiraling out of control.
Would you not admit, number one, that this seems to be spiraling out of control right now? Would you not admit that?
Spiraling out of... It's not even March yet.
And that's why it's spiraling.
And you still believe they're going to win 95 games.
Because
that's not like, out of control.
That's actually most fans' best-case scenario.
Right. But when your expectation is... We've had all this bad luck the last couple of years. The cheaters are done cheating. Oh, my. They have built a team that could be one of the great teams of all time. And now injury after injury after injury. Don't you think that's a little you-know-what in the Cheerios right now?
I actually think that you're the idiot for before,
that's not nice.
Before they play a game expecting them to be one of the greatest teams of all time.
And because they might only be pedestrianly good right now.
You put the expectations at an impossibly high level.
They put those expectations the moment they signed the best pitcher in baseball on a team that went to another ALCS and got robbed by cheaters.
No.
Why would you not feel that way?
They were not asking for 115 wins and a perfect postseason run when they signed Gerrit Cole.
They might have slipped up a game or two in the World Series, but they were that, compared to the rest of the American League, the way that roster was built, they have completely come back to the pack now, and that's not fair.
It's not fair.
No, it's not.
To whom? You?
To me, because this was the year, finally, I could enjoy something.
Finally.
After 11 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're getting cheated against. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Baseball was not fair for a couple of years during a time where the Yankees were playing clean, and that's not right.
Well, how do you think that Pirates fans feel when they won 98 games and had to lose a one-game wild card, and they had to break up the team the next year because they got no money?
I don't want to hear about the no money because these owners are stuffing money in their pocket, reinvest.
No. Fans. You're a fan.
Right.
A Pirates fan.
I think the fan.
A Pirates fan that has to be told, we got no money. You had a one-year window.
I'm a Pirates fan. I'm ticked off, annoyed. I'm pissed at my ownership.
You think it's fair? You think it's fair to them?
I don't think it's fair to them.
But okay.
So because it's not fair to me, it means it's also. It could be not fair to a lot of fans.
I think that Pirates fans probably feel like they got it way worse that you don't have it, not fair.
The 16-year-old Yankee fan has no idea what it's like to win right now. It's not fair to them.
And you don't care about the 16-year-old Yankee fan.
Of course I do. That's
no,
the
you
next
don't.
Generation.
No,
they're going to lose a generation of fans here.
That's your concern now?
It's everything,
you're
going to
lose a generation of fans?
This is the darkest decade in Yankee history, and it's getting darker.
How do you think Mariners fans feel? They've never won a World Series.
Right. That's why they're into the MLS.
They've never been to a World Series.
If I'm a Mariner fan, I hate my team.
They haven't been
even
to
like
the
baseball.
They haven't been to the playoffs in nearly 20 years.
But at least they didn't wake up on Christmas Day going, you know, I got a lot of hope for my baseball team this year. They don't even have hopes to get gashed. The hopes being gashed makes it worse.
Your Yankees beat their greatest team ever. They won, 116 games?
Right.
And haven't been
justice.
Back to the playoffs since then.
You think it's fair to them?
No, Felix Hernandez's whole career came and gone without a postseason start in Seattle. I think it stinks for Seattle fans. I'm allowed to sympathize with them.
But when they hear you saying it's not fair because you have a World Series title 11 years ago.
Tough noogies. That's it. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to Pirate fans. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to any of us.
So who's it fair to?
I guess Astro fans, because they could cheat their way to World Series. I guess Nats fans, who didn't even have a team, and they get to taste that already. It's not, I mean, is that right?
They didn't have a team for like 80 years.
Right, so now they get a team, they could just jump right in and win a championship? What are you, nuts? That's not fair. Earn a little keep.
Okay, so they might say it's not fair that they had their team taken away for 80 years. You say it's not fair that suddenly they were able to win a World Series. So basically,
Everybody who was alive was dead.
You just want all the World Series with the Yankees, and that's the only thing that would be fair.
No, I think if the Yankees are going to do the thing that most baseball owners should do and reinvest into their team, they should be rewarded with one World Series every 10 years.
After,
I don't think that's asking too much.
After you just slaughtered the acquisition of Giancarlo Stanton last hour.
Yes.
Now you're applauding the Yankees management for doing it.
Not for Stanton, for managing other things like going to get Cole or going to get Tanaka. They've done some smart moves, too. DA, you're comparing fan bases that have no hope to a fan base that has hope and then was gashed. I think it's far worse to get up to the altar and have the woman walk away from you than not have the woman at all.
All right, well, how about Bills fans then?
Bills fans should be the most crushed of anybody.
You think? Yeah. You think when they hear you say it's not fair because we've only won one World Series in the last 15
years. I don't think
years.
They should be annoyed that I'm saying it's not fair. I think they should sympathize with me and say, I agree, it's not fair. This sucks. Sports suck.
You think Bills fans sympathize with a Yankee fan?
I think some should, yeah. I think some should understand where I'm coming from, that sports could break your heart. And right now, my soul is crushed as a Yankee fan. It's not even March 1st. This shouldn't be happening. This was my year.
What a piggy.
I mean, seriously.
What a pig.
This was my year.
So piggy.
Some NBA last night. At one point, the Heat could not lose in Miami. Last night, they lost there to a team that had dropped 18 of 19.
The inbound comes to Jordan McLaughlin up top off a Hernan Gomez screen. J-Mac will drive. He'll go right to the rim and score for two. 8.5 seconds left, and the Wolves lead 127-126. How about that from J-Mac?
Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Minnesota stealing a 129-126 win in South Beach. Jimmy Butler's team has now dropped 7 of 9.
We can fix it. We will fix it. But the time is now, starting with, I don't know who we got next, Dallas, I think. You know, they said we wanted to start it tonight. It didn't happen. Better late than never.
The Sixers lost Joel Embiid in the first quarter in Cleveland last night to a sprained left shoulder. They never recovered, losing to those Cavs 108-94. No update on the Embiid status in terms of coming back on the floor. Boston a 114-103 win in Utah. The Clippers took care of the Suns 102-92. And the Rockets roughed up the Grizzlies 141-12. College Hoops, number 9, Maryland rallied for a 74-73 win at Minnesota. 12th-ranked Villanova beat St. John's 71-60. And number
college poops on the same
16,
time.
Penn State topped Rutgers 65-64 after blowing a 21-point lead. On ice last night, the Penguins dropped their fourth in a row, 2-1 in L.A., and Vegas blanked Edmonton 3-0, pushing their win streak to 7. And now, let us be...
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Second straight day with a listener submission. This one comes from our good buddy Hemsky in Tucson, and he knows how the game is played. So let me introduce you to a Florida woman.
Okay.
And this is one that we should stay away from by any measure. Sarah Boone, 42 years old from Winter Park, Florida. She's accused of zipping her boyfriend into a suitcase and leaving him there to die.
No.
Boone said that she and Jorge Torres had been drinking and thought it would be fun to play hide-and-go-seek. So into the suitcase she went. And again, this is her story now. That happens, and then she just goes, I'm tired, I'm going to bed, goes to sleep, wakes up in the morning, comes downstairs, Jorge's still in the suitcase, and now he has suffocated. That's her story until the police find...
Now, wait a second. She slept in the suitcase, too?
No. They were playing, and she was like, it was his idea to go in the suitcase, so he went in, and then she just...
And she zipped him up.
To bed.
But she zipped him up.
Zipped him in.
So that's not how hide-and-seek works.
Right, okay. It's again, there's a lot of idiocy going on because... Okay. She filmed Jorge in the suitcase trying to get out, saying, I can't breathe, and her going, this is what happens when you cheat on me.
Oh, no.
And then didn't delete the video off her phone, so police found that, and now she's charged with second-degree murder.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the darkest stunned by a news we have ever had.
I know, but...
Wait, so it wasn't actually hide-and-seek?
No. Stunned to a news usually doesn't end in death.
Yeah, but this one's a doozy.
I mean, think of the listen to the music in the background. It doesn't usually end in death.
This one's dark. as Cap responded when I sent him the link to this story, but I mean, it's unbelievable. I need to know how she got him in the suitcase.
Yeah,
and he stayed there to be zipped in. I love my wife. I don't know that I would.
Like, no way.
No, right? I mean, thanks.
I love my wife. I would never trust her with me in a suitcase, especially if she had ever caught me cheating. Well, no way. She would kill me in a suitcase.
Suitcases that hard that you can't break your way out of them?
Well,
Here's the first question. How big is this freaking suitcase and how small is Jorge?
Right. Or Lindbergh.
One jock alone.
Jorge.
Right. How many jock alones do you have to be? I mean, what? I've never seen a suitcase that I could get into comfortably.
No.
That's an enormous suitcase.
You ever lift a suitcase that weighs 47 pounds onto that thing at the airport when they weigh it?
And that's 47 pounds.
Right.
You're like six of those.
That's could a third of a jock alone.
Right.
Yeah. And so imagine getting into, first of all, having a suitcase that big, then getting into that suitcase, and as you said, allowing your wife to zip it up.
And my wife doesn't want to kill me as far as I know, and I still wouldn't want her to zip me into a suitcase.
And how tight is the zipper that you can't even breathe through that? Even, you know, when you zip something up,
right,
is that little, even centimeter of space, it never locks all the way up.
Yeah, and just fabric itself, you would think you could...
I mean, maybe it's not fabric.
Fabric.
Maybe it was a hard shell suitcase. I don't know.
Imagine how big a hard shell suitcase has to be to get Jorge in there.
Rest in peace.
Also, did Jorge know she knew he had cheated?
I mean,
because if you know your wife knows you cheated, you cannot give that suitcase.
No.
That's a Jorge problem.
You can get a no confined lock space if you know she's got an axe to grind.
Imagine you knew your wife knew you cheated, and then she's like, let's get drunk and play hide and seek. Why don't you get inside that suitcase? Like that.
But then again, Jorge might have been a cheater, so making good decisions is not one of his strong suits.
But a sad note, Rusty Staub has died at the age of 23.
The series of bad decisions by Jorge here. Number one, you cheat on your wife. Number two, she knows. Number three, she says, let's get drunk and play hide and seek. Number four, she says, get inside the big luggage. Number four, you do get inside the big luggage. Number five, you will let her zip up the luggage. These are all awful decisions by Jorge.
I mean, as the zipper's going around, the bell's got to go off. Stop this.
You know, this is a bad idea. You know, I don't want to play.
And how about her sleeping comfortably upstairs, too? As he's not breathing down there, like, aha, shouldn't have cheated on me with Barbara.
Just went to sleep. Now, I mean,
You think Jorge's hookup is Barbara?
Might be.
Okay.
Barb, for short.
You know, you're right. Like, at one point, when your wife is zipping up
as it's getting dark and the light's disappearing
and
around
she's
the
going,
zipper.
You cheater. You stick your hand outside of that zipper and you go, no, I'm going to hide in the armoire next. I'll go into the closet. I'll hide in the garage.
Let's just go to bed. I'm going to move out. How about
unless,
that?
Unless he was drugged or something while drinking.
Or he was that drunk?
Like he lost his mobility?
You know, what's next? Oh, you know what? Jorge, honey, why don't you go hide in the freezer, okay? I'm going to close you in the freezer, and then I'll open it up. No, I just want to see if you'll fit in the freezer.
Also, it just dawned on me. He's already in the suitcase. It's zipped up. If you know he's dead, get him out of there, hide the body, and just report him missing.
She called the police and said that he died on accident.
Not that I'm condoning such behavior.
Good, I'm glad.
But...
let's make that clear.
If you know in your head you're responsible for your husband's death, and he has already now done you the service, if you will, of being in a package that you could sneak out of your home.
Or send somewhere.
Right.
I mean, how much is that on Southwest? That's like $150.
Don't you get it out of the home and just report him missing and just understand that this went awry and I don't want to take the chance of spending the rest of my life in prison?
Imagine putting that up on the luggage carousel. Oh, yeah.
I'll pay the extra shipping here.
I'll pay the fee.
This is heavy, I know. What's the charge? Don't even weigh it.
Sorry, just a lot of clothes. A lot of clothes.
My goodness.
How many Jacques Alones do you think Jorge weighed?
Maybe just one Jacques.
One Jacques?
Yeah. It's got to be. There's no way he's more than one Jacques and he's getting in a suitcase.
Is the weight or the height more important here in terms of fitting into a suitcase?
Well, both, because if he's really short but really fat, he ain't getting that suitcase either.
Yeah, Zion's not getting in.
But I feel like the first problem would be if his legs and arms were too long. You know, if he's 5'6 and folds in half, he's going into that suitcase at a variety of weights. But if he's 6'3, it doesn't matter whether he's 150 or 250.
What do you think, Jorge was a piece of origami?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need to be compact, I think, more height-wise than weight-wise to get into a suitcase.
I like the theory that she drugged Jorge. She drugged him and then shoved him in the suitcase.
There's no way he wouldn't be able to fight his way out of that.
But he was trying to get out. You can see it apparently on the video. You can hear him saying, I can't breathe, let me out. Like, so at some point, he comes to and realizes that he's in a lot of trouble.
All right. This was the worst stunt to a news ever. Hemsky, why did you send us this?
Well, why did I put it on the air?
Awful. When we come back, MLS had its kickoff luncheon yesterday, and the power brokers believe they're going to pass Major League Baseball and hockey soon. Can they? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
It's not like going to Six Flags, DA. You could get rolled up on by a giraffe.
And what do you think a giraffe's going to do to you?
They're freaking tall. They can't stomp you. They're not Jeffrey at Toys R Us.
You've heard a lot of giraffe on human violence?
Well, no, because they don't survive to tell the tale.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
50 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We thank you for being with us on a fine Thursday. Remember that full episodes are available in podcast form, and now the Best Of Show is available in podcast form every single day. Find us on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and other places the podcasts are available, and find the Best Of every single day. So you get a condensed version of the DA Show.
I am excited.
Yesterday, I was at the MLS kickoff luncheon as they prepare for their 25th season. MLS is a league that I've actually worked within. I was the sideline reporter for the New England Revolution for TV broadcasts during my time in Boston, and also had worked closely alongside when they were the Kansas City Wizards when I worked in Kansas City. And recently, the New York Red Bulls. And so I really enjoy the league. I like the league. I'm a soccer fan, and I like that we have our own soccer league here in the States and don't have to always defer to La Liga or the English Premier League or any of the other really good leagues, the Bundesliga. There's great leagues, great soccer other places. And so MLS has always tried to fight that perception that they were a lesser league. But yesterday, 25 years now of MLS, and they're in very good financial standing. All of the franchises are basically risen in value over the years. Now to buy into the league is much more expensive than it's ever been. Hundreds of millions of dollars to buy into the NYCFC to start that. LAFC as well. The Atlanta United, and most recently David Beckham's Miami franchise. Nashville's franchise, St. Louis's franchise. You need big bucks to get into the MLS these days. And LAFC's lead owner, Larry Berg, said that he believes MLS will pass baseball and hockey in popularity in the next 10 years. Berg said, quote, "We definitely have the demographics in our favor, both in terms of youth and diversity. So I think we'll pass baseball and hockey and be the number three sport in the U.S. behind football and basketball. I think we will be the league of choice. I think we already are a league of choice to a certain extent. Whether we could be a top five soccer league globally or a top three league will really come down at the end of the day to money, our ability to compete for players." He mentioned that in South America, a lot of really good players want to play in MLS. He says, "We're the U.S. People want to live here. It's an incredible lifestyle. The infrastructure is fantastic." Jorge Mas is the co-owner with David Beckham of the Miami team, the new Miami franchise, Inter Miami. He said, "I think MLS will be one of the top sports leagues in the U.S. It'll be on par or exceed the best leagues in the world, the Premier League, Serie A, or La Liga worldwide. I think that the MLS 25 years from now will be the Premier League or Premier League-ish, if we want to so-call it on that type of metrics that leagues are measured by." So I think this is really interesting because, of course, a kickoff luncheon, owners of the league, investors in the league are going to talk really highly of the league. Nobody there is going to say we're in real trouble. But is it realistic to talk about MLS in those ways, surpassing MLB, surpassing the NHL in the next 10 or 15 years? I think so. Now, I will readily admit, you know, my roots, having worked within the league and for the team and being a soccer fan or for teams, I'm going to come at it from a different standpoint. But if I step back from it, I actually do believe there's things there to believe that MLS is already gaining major ground on baseball and hockey. And look, your MLS, you're not chasing down the NFL, not in our lifetimes. And the place that the NBA is in right now, you can't touch from a cultural standpoint, nor globally, because the NBA is the best basketball in the world, and so people from all different types of the globe, all different countries, all different languages, are looking at the NBA and watching the NBA. That's not happening with MLS, obviously. You know, nobody in Africa or Asia is watching MLS soccer. They've got better soccer to watch. But I think the optimism is warranted. And I think when they bring up something like metrics, demographics, that's where you could hang your hat. And I want to continue this conversation on the other side, because I do think that there is a specific metric that you look at and say, that's why that could happen, a shift change in American sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.